26 onwards. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened, when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Then Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. So that is the passage you're desiring. Now please refer to the passage at the back of your sheet, which is a passage from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 26 to verse 56. This morning we desire to focus on what is called the Song of Mary, found in the verses recorded, verse 46 to verse 55. Kami pada hari ini ingin mempelajari sedikit dari lagu yang dinyanyikan oleh Maria yang tercatat dalam senarai kita itu di belakang. Now we come to this occasion of the celebration of Christmas. We desire to know what it means. And we come to this message, Jesus, Son of the Highest. Let us take note that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ was unusual. For one thing, Mary's conception as a virgin was unusual. Who ever heard of a virgin having child? And we know that God is able to perform a miracle. He can perform many miracles. He has performed many miracles in time past. If with God nothing is impossible, could he not have performed this miracle? We know that this was a miracle. Mary, who had not known any man, was found to be with child. And even before she knew that she was with child, the message has been brought to her. It was told her that she was with child. So she asked herself, how could that be? But the angel assured her that this was the work of God. It is the mighty work of God. What was impossible with men was possible with God. God had performed this miracle. So the conception of the Virgin Mary was unusual. Then there was the danger of her being found out and, in fact, being stoned to death according to the law of Moses. But for the case of Mary, it was assured to her that it would be all right. And the angel Gabriel was the one who brought the message to her. So we come to realize that for the message to be announced by a heavenly being, by an angel, was itself unusual. Then sadly, the circumstances surrounding the whole episode was unusual, in that Elizabeth, the relative of Mary, was herself also found to be with child. Although hers was not a virgin conception, nevertheless, it was unusual in that she was far beyond the age of bearing children. Under normal circumstances, Mary would be regarded as too old to have child. Just as in the days of Abraham, when Sarah, his wife, was very old, yet God gave her a child. It was not by a miraculous conception, in that she was married. And so also with Elizabeth, she was married. So it was not a virgin conception, but nevertheless, she was very old, and under human reckoning, she was incapable of having child. But God has given her a child. And this child was somehow related to the coming of the child given to Mary, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For one day, when Elizabeth was visited by Mary, Mary came to the village to visit her relative Elizabeth. We are told that something unusual happened. If you were to look at verse 36, we are already told. The angel said, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who was called barren. So Elizabeth was with child. And in verse 37, for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. So the whole circumstance was very unusual. Then later on, you discover that when Mary visited Elizabeth and greeted her, we are told there in verse 42, then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb. So you see now the strange situation, that Mary, who was with child, came to visit Elizabeth, who was with child. Elizabeth was already quite advanced in her pregnancy. So the moment Mary greeted Elizabeth, the baby in Elizabeth began to move in excitement with joy. And Elizabeth knew that this has to do with the child carried by Mary. So all in all, what we want to say is that the coming of Jesus Christ to earth was very unusual. Who is this Jesus Christ? And why was he born in such unusual circumstances? So these are questions we want to answer in today's message. And we want to learn the lesson that, based on the song of Mary found in verse 46 to verse 55, we are going to learn that Jesus Christ, we are going to show that Jesus Christ is the Savior promised by God long ago. So Jesus Christ is the Savior promised by God long ago. Dalam petikan yang tercatat dalam senarai kita itu, kita akan mempelajari bahawa Yesus Kristus adalah juru selamat yang dijanjikan oleh Tuhan. Itu yang kita mau pelajari pada hari ini. Now, there are three points we want to raise from the Song of Mary. The first point is that God's mercy to sinners is shown in Jesus Christ. We look at verse 46 to verse 50. We note that Mary understood she needed to be saved. You must understand this point. We are told that in the passage. Look again at the passage in that is at the back of your sheet. Now look at what it says. We are told there that Mary in her song said this in Luke chapter 1. It says in verse 47, "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." Now Mary look upon God as her Savior. Now Savior from what? What does Mary want to be saved from? Was she saying that she needed to be saved from danger? But she was not in danger at that time. Was she saying she needed to be saved from her poverty? Yes, poor she was. But she wasn't hungry. She wasn't dying of starvation. So clearly, Mary was not referring to salvation from poverty. Then saving her from shame. But before this, she did not know any shame. She was betrothed to Joseph in a proper way, and she had not known Joseph yet, because according to the laws of the Jews, when betrothed, you are legally husband and wife, but you do not live together yet. You have to wait until the wedding day, then you come to live together as husband and wife. She realized that she was descended from Adam. She knew that Adam sinned against God and therefore brought the whole of the human race down with him, and therefore we are all guilty before God. Mary understood that she, like the whole of the human race, was under God's wrath. God's holy anger rests upon the human race because we are guilty in the sin of Adam. We need to be saved from the punishment we deserve for our guilt before God. We all know that we have inherited a sinful nature from Adam and Eve. That is why in every nation of the world, whichever culture you may be from, you discover that you are born sinful. A child, without you teaching him, will grow up telling lies. A child will be proud. A child will be rebellious. You see here that nobody needs to teach us all these things. We all show this sort of characteristics in us. So clearly, we all have inherited a sinful nature passed down to us all the way from Adam. And because we have this sinful nature, all of us have committed sin in one way or another, such that we are guilty before God. Do you understand these things? Mary understood these things. Therefore, she knew she needed to be saved. So don't listen to teaching coming from certain people claiming that Mary was sinless. Mary was an ordinary person like us. Although chosen by God to bear the Lord Jesus Christ, to be born into the world, nevertheless, she was descended from Adam like us all. She understood that she was guilty before God, that she has inherited a sinful nature from Adam. She understood that she herself had sinned against God in so many ways, like each one of us. She understood that we all deserve God's damnation. She knew that she needed to be saved from her sins. That is why she said in verse 47, "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." She needed a Savior. Okay? And although she was chosen by God to carry the Lord Jesus Christ, who was going to be born into the world as the Savior of the world, her rejoicing was more over the fact that she was now being considered one of those going to be saved. She was going to have this Savior born into the world. She will be saved, and others will be saved along with her as well. So understand this first point, that Mary understood she needed to be saved. Kita mempelajari bahawa Maria, dia insaf bahawa dia seorang yang berdosa. Dia perlu diselamatkan. Janganlah kita menerima apa-apa pengajaran yang salah yang mengatakan Maria selama kehidupannya tidak pernah berdosa. Dia sebenarnya berdosa. Dia seperti kita juga. So we need to be saved, all of us, because we all have sinned against God. We all have inherited a sinful nature, and we all are guilty in Adam's sin. And therefore, God's holy anger rests upon us. We need to be saved. Now, do you realize that you need to be saved? Are you conscious that you are a person who is guilty before God? Do you realize that you are not perfect, that you are a sinful person and you are guilty before God? Then the second point is that Mary understood that the child given to her was the Savior of the world. If you look at verse 49, it says, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. For his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." So Mary was conscious not only of the fact that she was guilty before God, that she was a sinner before God, but she knew that from generation to generation, the whole human race have been guilty before God. We are all descended from the same parents, Adam and Eve. We all sinned in him when he fell, when he rebelled against God. We all have inherited a sinful nature. That is why as we separated in the world and adopted different cultures and began to speak different languages and do things slightly differently. From outside, we appear to be different. But we all know that each of us have only two eyes, not three. We know that we have one mouth, not two. We all know that when cut open, we have one heart. We have two lungs. We have one liver, one stomach. We are not like cows with five stomachs. We all know that we are basically the same. We all descended from the same parents. Okay? So we are guilty in Adam. When Adam sinned against God, we sinned in him because he was our representative. He represented the human race. And not only were we guilty in the sin of Adam, but we have inherited a sinful nature. Each of us has a sinful nature. And that sinful nature has inclined us in the direction of breaking God's laws. That is why we sin in our thoughts, our words, and our deeds. Now look at yourself. Examine yourself. You have not thought clean thoughts before God. Your thoughts have been crooked. Your thoughts have been unclean. Now look at your words. You have told lies before. Look at your actions. You have stolen before. We have all sinned against God in one way or another, and we all deserve the eternal damnation of God because we sin against the Holy One. We sin against the Perfect One. We sin against our Creator. Okay? Now, Mary understood that the whole human race is fallen in sin and needs to be saved. And she understood that at last God has sent that Savior, and she was conscious that the one who was going to be born through her was going to be her Savior and the Savior of the whole world. So you see here that in verse 50 he says, "For his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation." Okay? Jadi kita mempelajari bahawa Maria insaf bahawa anak yang dikandungnya itu sebenarnya ialah juru selamat orang-orang berdosa. Dia bukan saja sadar bahawa dia sendiri berdosa, tetapi kesemua orang dalam dunia ini adalah berdosa. Seperti yang dinyatakannya dalam ayat ke-50 itu. Dari generasi ke generasi, semua orang perlu diselamatkan. Dan keselamatan kita adalah melalui juru selamat yang diutuskan oleh Tuhan kita. Sekarang Maria, dia insaf bahawa anak kandungan itu sebenarnya ialah juru selamat itu. Bukan sahaja juru selamat untuk dirinya sendiri, tetapi untuk kesemua orang, iaitu kami yang berdosa. Then the third thing to note is that Mary was thankful to God for God's mercy. In verse 46, Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." She did not dare to praise herself. "Oh, I'm so good. God chose me to bear the Savior of the world." She did not dare to look upon herself as good. Instead, her soul magnifies God. Her soul glorified God. She could only praise God because God is alone worthy to be praised. Then if you look at verse 48, it says, "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. And behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed." Mary realized that she was unworthy. She said of her situation, she was of a lowly state. And in verse 49, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." So God is the one who has done great things for me. So Mary's heart was just praising God. And she realized that she was not worthy. Now these two characteristics are always found in those who are saved, who have come to know Jesus Christ as Savior, who are accepted by God. Perhaps you have come to church once in a while. Perhaps you have along the way been attracted to the Christian faith. Perhaps when challenged, you may even say that you choose Christianity as your religion. You're so inclined to want to declare yourself a Christian, but you do not yet know for sure whether you are a Christian. Now, one way of telling whether or not you are a true Christian is to ask yourself whether these two characteristics are found in you. Firstly, the characteristic of self-abasement, the characteristic of thinking yourself unworthy, or to put it simply, to have a true humility of heart. You are truly humble before God. You know that you do not deserve God's goodness, and yet God has shown His mercy upon you. So that humility of heart must be there. Then you would praise God. You will glorify God. You will want to live for Him. So that is the second characteristic. A person who is truly saved will think nothing of himself before God. He rarely feels that he is unworthy, and yet God has shown mercy upon him. Then he wants to praise God and magnify his name. Throughout his life, he wants to glorify God's name. He does not live to please himself, but he just wants to magnify God's name. If you have these two characteristics, then you have the characteristics of a person who truly knows the true God. Jadi kita dapati bahawa Maria ini terasa kecil hati kalau dibandingkan dengan kebaikan Tuhan. Tuhan sudah menunjukkan belas kasihannya kepadanya, dan dia tahu dia tidak layak menerima kasih sayang dan belas kasihan Tuhan ini. Dan kedua, Maria ini ingin memuji Tuhan. Dia mahu membesarkan nama Tuhan. Ini dia dua ciri orang yang terselamat. Jika kamu benar-benar terselamat, jika kamu ini benar-benar Kristen, kamu sudah tentu ada dua ciri ini yang ternampak pada dirimu. Kalau ingin kamu tahu sama ada kamu ini benar-benar Kristen atau tidak, tanya diri sendiri, adakah kedua-dua ciri ini terdapat dalam dirimu? Pertama, adakah kamu merendahkan diri, menerima hakikat bahawa kamu ini tidak layak diterima Tuhan, tapi Tuhan sudah menunjukkan belas kasihannya kepadamu.
Dan kedua, kamu ingin memuliakan nama Tuhan. Kamu hidup untuknya, bukan hidup untuk diri sendirimu. Kamu memang mau membesarkan nama Tuhan. Puji nama dia. Kalau terdapat kedua-dua ciri ini dalam kehidupanmu, maka kamu ada kedua-dua ciri seorang Kristen yang benar. Okay? Now, we have covered the first main point. God's mercy to sinners is shown in Jesus Christ. We come to the second main point. Verse 51 to verse 53. God's mercy does not benefit some people. Now we are told in verse 51, He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. Now for God to scatter the proud means God does not receive them. So the first category of people who will not benefit from the coming of Jesus Christ to this earth are those who are proud in their heart. And straight away you understand what it means to be proud. It means that you think too highly of yourself. You measure how good you are by using your own standard. You think that you are better than others. You think that you're not as bad as other people. You fail to see that the standard of measuring how good you are should be God's law, not your own idea of what constitutes good and what constitutes bad. Now, if you want to compare yourself with other people, you will realize that whether you like it or not, you think that you're not worse than others. There are many who are worse than you. And then when you compare yourself with others, you begin to praise yourself. Actually, I'm better than so many people around me. So when you begin to think like that, you realize that you begin to think that you have no need for God. You have no need for Jesus Christ. You have no need for Jesus Christ to come and save you. Okay? And this is where self-righteousness comes in. A lot of people think that they are so righteous. They may not be perfect, but they claim that they have done some good along the way. They feel that they are somehow not too bad. And this is where, in God's sight, you are proud. And God scatters the proud. God does not accept those who are proud. Okay? Jadi, kita dapati bahwa Maria dalam lagunya menunjukkan ada segolongan orang yang tidak akan menikmati kedatangan Yesus Kristus ke dunia ini. Yesus Kristus diutuskan Tuhan ke dunia ini untuk menyelamatkan orang yang berdosa. Tapi ada segolongan orang yang tak akan menikmati kedatangan Yesus ke dunia ini. Siapakah mereka ini? Pertama, golongan pertama ialah mereka yang angkuh. Mereka memikirkan diri mereka itu lebih baik dari orang lain. Mereka ingin menguji dan mengukur kebaikan mereka menurut standar sendiri. Mereka kata, kalau dibandingkan dengan orang lain, aku ini tidak seburuk mereka. Aku ini tidak sejahat mereka. Kita sentiasa mau memikirkan diri sendiri semacam itu. Dan bahkan kita sentiasa memikirkan kita ini lebih baik dari banyak orang. Hah? Kalau kita pikir semacam itu, kita ini angkuh. Kalaulah kita angkuh, maka tidak akan diterima Tuhan kita. Kita tidak akan terasa bahwa kita ini benar-benar orang berdosa yang perlukan keselamatan dari Yesus Kristus. Ya, maka kita tak akan diterima Tuhan. Then secondly, in verse 52, we read there, He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. There are those who are mighty because of their birth, because of their position, because of their possession. They are rich, they are powerful, they are people who have influence in the world. But we know that the rich and the powerful may get a lot of things done in their life. And a lot of people fear them and a lot of people try to praise them. See? And such people are unlikely to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation.
because they think they are powerful. They think they can do all things by their position, by their power. Okay? And many people, although they are not yet in a position of true power yet, not in a position of being greatly influential, they nevertheless aspire to be powerful and influential. They would like to be in such a position. They work for that position. They want to be recognized. They want to be in a position where they can influence a lot of people. Okay? By virtue of their position, by virtue of their power, they control a lot of people. They are therefore able to do a lot of things according to their wish. They therefore do not see their need for God to come and save them. So the rich and the powerful, they are difficult to be saved. We are not saying it's impossible. God has saved those who are powerful. God has saved those who are rich by humbling them. But it must be after they are humble. If they remain proud, they remain resistant to God, they remain in the situation where they think too much of themselves, of their ability, then you discover they will not be saved. Okay? Jadi golongan kedua ialah mereka yang mempunyai kuasa. Mungkin mereka kaya, mereka ada kedudukan tinggi, mereka dapat mempengaruhi banyak orang. Orang semacam ini tidak memikirkan diri mereka ini perlukan keselamatan dari Tuhan. Okay? Jadi berhati-hatilah kita. Then there are the third category of people. You look at verse 53. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. Now, there are those who are not rich only, and not only powerful and rich, but they are people who do not feel any need in themselves. They don't feel they need anything. You put good food before rich people. People who are filled, okay? They don't feel like eating. Okay? Now, when you are hungry, you eat anything. Even water tastes sweet to you. See? Plain water tastes sweet. See? But that is when you are truly thirsty and truly hungry. But when you are full, even the best food would not be nice to you. You know, I don't feel like eating today. The best food doesn't attract you, doesn't cause your mouth to water. But if you're hungry, the smell of hot food causes your mouth to water. Hey, you need food, see? Now you know what it is like. But if you're constantly full, you will constantly not need any food offered by other people. You will think that you have no need. And that is what happens to people. You do not necessarily be rich. You do not necessarily be in a position of power. But if you think that you do not need Jesus Christ, you do not need to hear the gospel, you do not need God, you can go through life just based on your own effort to handle your own problems, you discover you will not be saved. You will feel that there is no need for you to come to Jesus Christ. Jadi ada golongan ketiga, ialah mereka yang memikirkan diri mereka itu sudah mencukupi segala-galanya. Mereka seperti orang yang kenyang. Kalau kamu kenyang, kamu tidak pikirkan makanan. Tapi kalau kamu ini lapar, sedikit makanan pun menyebabkan air liur sudah keluar. Ya? Kita inginkan makanan. Jadi yang ada orang semacam itu, dari segi rohani, mereka pikir mereka ini berdaya. Mereka ini mungkin membuat kesemuanya. Mereka tidak memerlukan sesiapa pun. Kalau kamu memikirkan dirimu ini berupaya, kamu tidak mungkin diselamatkan. Kamu tidak akan datang ke Yesus Kristus. So there are therefore these people who will not benefit from the salvation in Jesus Christ. So how many main points have we covered? Firstly, we have covered the first point. God's mercy to sinners is shown in Jesus Christ. Second is that God's mercy does not benefit some people. We come to the last point, the last main point. God's mercy is shown by His covenant promise, verse 54 to verse 55. We read in verse 54, He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy, as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. Now, earlier we said that Mary understood the Bible well. She understood the Old Testament scriptures. The Jews in those days
read the Old Testament. Up to today, they continue to read the Old Testament. So that part of the Bible that was written down before the coming of Jesus Christ, Mary understood well. Mary understood that God chose Israel to be His people, although they were undeserving. Look at verse 54. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. Many times in the history of Israel, the people of Israel sinned against God and went astray. And yet God was long-suffering towards them. God was extremely patient. God waited for them, and God sent prophets to them to turn them back to Himself. See? So you see now that Israel was undeserving, and yet God was merciful to the nation of Israel. Why was that the case? The reason was because it was God's plan for the Savior to come through the nation of Israel. Now God could have chosen the Chinese. God could have chosen the Indians. God could have chosen the Nigerians or whoever. God has to choose a people. And it was God's choice that Israel became His people. Through the nation of Israel, the Savior was going to come. Jesus Christ, the Savior, was going to come through the nation of Israel. That is why Mary here understood that Israel was unworthy. God could easily have chosen any other nation, because all of us are unworthy to be chosen by God. And yet God chose Israel. Huh? And God was patient with Israel, although Israel on many occasions went against God. The reason was because God desired His plan to be fulfilled, that the Savior would come from the nation of Israel. Jadi dalam ayat ke-54 dan 55, kita dapati bahawa Maria ini, dia sebenarnya mengerti ajaran yang terdapat dalam Alkitab kita, yaitu dalam bahagian yang dipanggil Perjanjian Lama, yang ditulis sebelum kedatangan Yesus ke dunia ini. Maria mengenali bahawa Israel dipilih oleh Tuhan sebagai umat-Nya, oleh kerana Tuhan ingin Juru Selamat itu datang dari Bani Israel, bukan dari kaum atau bangsa lain, tetapi melalui Bani Israel sahaja. Ha? Dan ini bukan kerana Israel lebih layak daripada orang-orang lain, dari bangsa-bangsa lain. Tidak. Kita ini semua tidak layak menerima apa-apa kebaikan dari Tuhan. Tetapi Tuhan sudah memilih negara Israel ini sebagai umat-Nya, kerana melalui umat Israel ini akan datangnya Juru Selamat kita, yaitu Yesus Kristus. Okay. Then we note that God fulfilled His covenant promise with Abraham. Long ago, before Israel existed, God chose this man called Abraham. And God made a promise with Abraham. And God said that through Abraham will come a seed, a descendant, who will be a blessing to all the nations of the world. Now this is a reference back to the teaching in the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis. Mary truly understood her Bible well. She knew that God had entered into a covenant, a formal agreement with Abraham. And if God has entered into a formal agreement or a covenant with Abraham, God was going to keep His word. God is a faithful God. When God makes a promise, He will keep His promise. Unlike man makes a promise and then we break our promise. And even if our heart wants to fulfill the promise, often circumstances have changed. Often it is that we find we are not able, we don't have the ability to fulfill what our hearts want to do. But with God, it's different. God is all-powerful. He's able to fulfill His promises. But not only was He all-powerful, God was faithful to Abraham. When God made that promise to Abraham, He was going to fulfill that promise. And Mary understood that she was a descendant of Abraham, and that through her was going to come the Savior. Okay? So God's covenant faithfulness is seen here. Kita dapati perkara kedua ialah Maria ini Dia mengerti bahawa Tuhan ini Tuhan yang setia. Dia bukan manusia. Kalau manusia membuat sesuatu janji, biasanya kita mungkir janji kita. Kita tidak memenuhi janji kita. Dan bukan itu saja. Bukan saja kita sentiasa memungkir janji kita. Tetapi biasanya kita ada kehendak, ada keinginan memenuhi janji itu, tetapi kita tidak berupaya. Ya. Tapi tahu untuk Tuhan itu dia beda, dia beza berbanding dengan orang lain. Dia bukan manusia. Tuhan ini mempunyai kuasa. Dia ini maha berkuasa. Maka dia ada keupayaan untuk memenuhi segala kehendaknya. Dan bukan saja Tuhan ini maha berkuasa, tetapi dia itu setia. Sewaktu dia membuat janji, dia mengikat janji dengan Abraham. Dia ingin menunjukkan bahawa dia ini setia. Apa-apa yang dijanjikannya akan digenapi. Sekarang Maria mengerti bahawa ini ialah kegenapan janji Tuhan kepada Abraham. Okay? Then we note that God's promise of salvation is to all who believe in Jesus Christ. Mary says that it is to his seed forever, to Abraham's descendants forever. Now, do you understand what that means? It does not mean to the Jews forever, but it is to the spiritual descendants of Abraham forever. The Jews were only used by God in the Old Testament times for the Savior to come. Once the Savior has come, he will be a blessing to all nations. The Jews as a nation no longer plays a special role in God's plan. It has been fulfilled. They have fulfilled God's purpose for the Savior to come. Once the Savior has come, the purpose of Israel is no more. Instead, the continuing purpose of God is for the seed, for that particular seed, for that Savior, Jesus Christ, to be a blessing to all nations of the world, including the Jews, of course, but to all nations of the world. So the purpose, the special purpose of Israel as a nation is no more, because it has been fulfilled. The Savior has already come from the nation of Israel. So since that purpose has been fulfilled, Israel is no longer the special people of God. Instead, through this Savior, Jesus Christ, God is going to bless all nations of the world, including the Jews, but all the nations of the world. How is Jesus Christ going to be a blessing to all the nations of the world? By Him dying on the cross, by Him paying the price of sin for His people, and by the message of this salvation going to all the nations. So all the nations, whether you are Jew, whether you are Chinese, whether you are Indian, whether you are Nigerian, whether you are South African, or whoever you are, when you hear the message of salvation, that you must repent and come to Jesus Christ and trust in Him, and you will be forgiven your sin, you will have eternal life. When you hear that message and respond to it, then you are accepted by God. And when you are accepted by God, you become the children of Abraham. You are the descendants of Abraham. Now let me prove to you by reading from a passage in the New Testament in Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3 verse 29 we are told, "And if you are Christ's, if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, Abraham's descendant, and heirs according to the promise." And this is written in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise." And what this means to us is this: regardless of what race you belong, as long as you respond to the call of the gospel, as long as you repent, you turn from your life of sin to trust in Jesus Christ, who is the Savior sent by God for us, who died on the cross to pay for our sins, As long as you turn from your life of sin to trust in Jesus Christ, to follow Him for the rest of your life, now you are forgiven by God. You are accepted by God as His child. You become the descendant of Abraham, who is now an heir of the promise God made with Abraham. So you become the true Israel of God. You become a member of spiritual Israel. You become the true people of God. Okay? Now that is how the blessing of God comes to all nations through this descendant of Abraham, through this seed of Abraham, through this Savior, through Jesus Christ. The blessing of God comes to all nations of the world. Jadi, Maria juga mengerti bahwa melalui seorang keturunan Abraham, berkat Tuhan akan mengalir ke semua kaum dalam dunia ini. Israel tidak lagi menjadi umat Tuhan yang istimewa. Sekarang, melalui kepercayaan dalam Yesus Kristus, sesiapa pun mungkin diterima Tuhan dan akan diampuninya. Kita akan diterima menjadi umat-Nya. Tak kira kamu orang Israel atau orang Malaysia atau orang bangsa apapun, selagi kita mendengar kabar baik bahwa Yesus Kristus ialah juru selamat yang diutuskan Tuhan kepada kita. Tuhan mengirimkan Dia kepada kita. Yesus Kristus sudah membayar hutang kita melalui kematian-Nya atas salib. Kalau kita mendengar berita ini dan kita bertobat dan kita percaya kepada Yesus Kristus, kita ikut Dia buat selama-lamanya, kita akan diampuni segala dosa kita. Tuhan menerima kita sebagai anak-Nya dan kita menjadi keturunan Abraham. Kita menjadi waris-Nya. Kita menerima janji Tuhan, yaitu berkat-Nya akan diberikan kepada kita. Jadi itu dia satu-satunya cara kita diselamatkan. Okay? Now let us round up all that we have learned. First, we learn that God's mercy to sinners is shown in Jesus Christ. Second, we learn that God's mercy does not benefit some people. Thirdly, we learn that God's mercy is shown by His covenant promise to Abraham. We draw to a close. We are learning from the song of Mary that Jesus Christ is that Savior promised by God. Jesus Christ has come and died on the cross to save sinners. Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And now He is in heaven. One day He will come to judge the world. Meanwhile, while waiting for Him to come, while waiting for Judgment Day, we celebrate His coming. Just like many of us, we celebrate our birthday, but we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ because He is the Savior of the world. Whoever comes to Jesus Christ, whoever repents of his sin and trusts in Him, will be forgiven by God and they will be accepted by God. They will be given eternal life. So let us make up our mind to come to Jesus Christ in repentance. In faith, we want to acknowledge our sin before God, and we want to come to trust in Jesus Christ alone, who can save us, who alone can bless us, because God's covenant blessing comes to all nations through Jesus Christ. Jadi, kita sudah mempelajari bahwa Yesus Kristus satu-satunya juru selamat yang diutuskan kepada kita oleh Tuhan. Sesiapa yang bertobat dan percaya kepada-Nya akan diampuni Tuhan. Dan Tuhan akan memberi kepada kita kehidupan yang kekal. Marilah kita bertobat. Marilah kita percaya kepada Yesus Kristus. Now, we want to sing hymn number 3. Let us stand to sing hymn number 3.